I'd like to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, we're going to look in just a moment at what the Lord Jesus has to say. I'd like to talk with you for a little while about the lost and the saved. You know, the Lord understands better than any that not many people are going to choose to be saved. In fact, there are many who are going to choose to ignore and to reject the offer of Jesus, thereby choosing to be lost. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, we find not only instruction, but a command of Jesus. We also see his desire for us. Verse 13 beginning, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The Lord expresses his desire that we find salvation, that we find eternal life. But sadly, he knows, and we are learning, that many go by the wide way, the easy way that leads to destruction. And the Lord makes it clear that salvation is a matter of personal choice. And so let's think for a little while about why are so many people lost. The first and most obvious answer is many are lost because they remain in their sin. In Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and verse 2, we find a universal truth presented by the Lord through his prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." As we look at this text, we can't help but notice that when there is a problem in our relationship with God, it's not a problem on God's part, it's a problem on ours, and that is that we've sinned. And our sin, which is, well, disobedience to God, neglecting to do the will of God, that separates us from him. And so there is a problem in our lives when we sin against God, who is holy, who is righteous, and who is almighty. And this problem is not one for just a few, but for everyone. In fact, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we find this simple statement, which speaks volumes about our circumstance. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's not a one of us who has not looked upon someone with lust, or taken something that does not belong to us, or neglected to do the right thing when we had the opportunity. In some other way, perhaps, but we've all sinned, and by doing so we fall short of the glory of God. And the result or the consequence of that is death. Spiritual death comes as a result of sin. That's what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. We're separated from God by our sin. And Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. "The wages of sin is death." There is a result or a consequence for sin, and it's that spiritual death that we experience away and apart from God. But in contrast, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we find this. While the wages of sin is death, he says the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is an offering of eternal life by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is placed in a place of authority over us. He is Lord. Now, sadly, many are lost because they just won't accept the offer of salvation in and through Jesus Christ. They won't acknowledge him as Lord, and thereby they won't accept him and enjoy the blessings of him as Savior. Now, another reason why so many people are lost is, well, the impure lives of those who claim to be a Christian. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 23, verse 3. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3, we find this said of the Pharisees. Jesus warns, "So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice." And there are just a lot of people like this, then and now. They're lost as long as they continue to commit the sin of hypocrisy. They'll maybe say the right thing. They'll maybe even teach the right thing and encourage others to do the right thing. But then their lives are lived in hypocrisy to God's word. They don't practice what they preach. So let's not commit the sin of hypocrisy. Let's be truly children of God. Let's be, through and through, Christians. followers of Jesus Christ, obedient to His will and word. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, we find this encouragement by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." He says to those who are saints at Philippi, those who are children of God, born of God through obedience to the gospel, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ," indicating that even a child of God can live a life that is not worthy of the gospel, is not living up to the standard of the faith of the gospel. And because we love the Lord and honor Him in our lives, we are who we say we are. We're to be Christians. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain." Let's live lives that are sincere, that demonstrate God's word in our lives, that we practice what we preach. Another reason why many are lost is that many Christians haven't learned or made the effort to share the gospel. Sometimes we don't carry out our responsibility to prepare ourselves and to properly teach our neighbors. In Hebrews chapter 5, we find the Hebrews writer making an indictment against some who are, in fact, children of God. And he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." He said, you've had enough time. You should be something that you're not. And there is a time in everyone's spiritual life when we're immature, when we're babes in Christ, as Peter would say, and we still need that basic milk of the Word. But we should be growing towards maturity. And there are many of us in this congregation, in fact, who have grown up beyond the milk. And if we've been a member of the Lord's church for some years, we should be not only able but active in bringing the lost to Christ, in introducing others to the Scriptures and to the truth of the gospel. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "In your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy." The word there in the New King James is "sanctify the Lord in your hearts," always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. That ought to describe each of us. Prepared to make a defense when someone asks us for the reason for our hope. And when we do that, when we give the defense of the gospel, that we do it with gentleness and respect, that we do it in a kind and gentle way so that we might win them to Christ. And we have plenty of examples throughout the New Testament Scriptures of first century Christians going out and taking the gospel to the lost world. We find Peter able to tell Cornelius words by which he and all his household would be saved, Acts chapter 11. We find Philip preaching Christ to many, including the one on the deserted road who was traveling from Jerusalem to his home in Ethiopia. We find the Christians in Jerusalem as they fled persecution. As they were scattered, they went about preaching the word. That's in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. You see, sometimes we think that the preaching of the word was relegated only to the apostles and certain chosen individuals. But in reality, it was a shared responsibility by the apostles, by the preachers of the gospel, and by members of the Lord's church. Do we know the gospel? More than that, and to our point, do we know the gospel well enough that we can lead others to Jesus for salvation? If not, we should be. And if not, we're partially responsible for many who are currently lost in their sin. And so we need to be motivated, moved by compassion, by love, to learn the gospel well enough that not only can we do the right thing in our own lives, but we can do the right thing by sharing this good word, the word of salvation, with others. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That's why, in a few words, so many people are lost. But why are the few enjoying salvation in Christ Jesus today? Let's think a little bit about that. Why are the few saved? Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 5, let me say that some are saved because someone cares. Now, there are a lot of people in this world who, like the psalmist, feel all alone in this world. The psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 4, "Look to the right and see there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul." How sad it is that the psalmist, as well as many whom we might know, feel so alone. And from a worldly perspective, that may be at times true. That may be, from a worldly perspective, there's no one on this earth who cares for us quite the way we deserve to be cared for. But you know, there is someone who is always caring for you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus cared enough for you and for everyone to die upon the cross at Calvary. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8, the apostle wrote, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, he loves us so much that he commands his disciples to take the gospel to the lost. Now, when we love like he loves, we care, and we share the gospel with everyone. His love for mankind is seen throughout the Scriptures, from the beginning all the way to the end. I would dare say that every page of the Scriptures is propelling forward the narrative of God's love for us, and that scarlet thread of salvation runs from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, we find this invitation being one of the bookends of God's great offer, of his great love, and of his great concern for you, his care for you. "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price." That means God cares for you and he says, come. That means those of us who have been born of God and who are loved by God and who love him in return, we also invite others, saying, come. Won't you come? You can be a part of the saved. The lost who hear the truth of God's word sincerely ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And that's why the few are saved. Now, not everyone who hears the offer of salvation from sin responds to God's gracious offer. Some, sadly, stubbornly refuse to accept salvation because they want to continue in their sin. Others postpone accepting salvation because they think a better offer might come along someday in some way. And then yet there are others who delay their obedience to the gospel because they're just not sure they can make the lifelong commitment to the Lord. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. Let me encourage you to think seriously about the brevity of your life and the opportunity given to you by God right now, today. Anyone can obtain forgiveness of sins and enjoy salvation by simply following the pattern of God presented in the New Testament Scriptures, by accepting his offer of salvation, by asking with sincerity the question, what must I do to be saved? Now in Acts chapter 2, we see people who were concerned about their spiritual standing before God. They had come to worship God. They were interested in spiritual things. And a sermon about the risen Lord was preached, proclaimed by the apostles, and that message convicted some in the audience to ask that most important question. Look at verse 37. "When they heard this," that is, the preaching of the gospel, "they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do?" The apostle then gave them a clear reasonable and understandable answer. Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's it. Repent and be baptized. You'll be forgiven of your sins. That's, remember, what separates you from God. That's what we read in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. That's what Paul refers to in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6. The wages of sin is death. Well, you don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die spiritually and be eternally separated from God. You can have your sins forgiven. Repent and be baptized. Continue in the text. Look at verse 39. Because there were some of the audience that accepted the offer of God and obeyed his instruction. Verse 39, "For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And the Holy Spirit then says, with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And we find in verse 47, those who were added by the Lord to the church are those who are being saved. Now the question I have for you, are you honest enough to obey the gospel today? Oh, I know you're able to obey. And I know that when you do, you'll enjoy the same blessings the 3,000 did when they obeyed the Lord. The question is, will you do it? Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, saying, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Jesus Christ, the only salvation, the only Savior of the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, the Apostle John said, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." If you'll be obedient to the gospel, if you'll be obedient to Christ, and live a faithful life devoted to him, then you'll be with God one day in heaven. You won't be counted as one who is lost, but you'll be counted as one who is saved. Consider one last time the words of Jesus, the encouragement for you and his desire for you. "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." If you have need of obeying the gospel and we can assist you in that, then please do not hesitate. Don't put it off. Repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, we've come to the end of another lesson. And as always, I'd like to encourage you to participate with us in our Bible study on Wednesday evening. We are meeting at the Meeting House Wednesday evening at 7:30 for Bible class. But as we've been doing since the pandemic began, we've had a Zoom connection possible for all who don't feel safe or are unable because of health reasons to come out and join with us in person. I would ask that if you desire to join with us on Zoom, that you be logged into the application and to the meeting by 7:25 p.m. This week, we're going to be talking about the call of wisdom that's presented in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through verse 33. I believe we've been having good classes, good participation, and it's an enjoyable time for all of us to see each other and to spend that time together in a study of God's Word. And if you need assistance in connecting with Zoom, please let me know so that I can help you make that connection and we can see each other and study together. Thank you so much, and I'll look forward to seeing you Wednesday night.